Salutations out there. This is the Firestarter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I am TKO. I got my main man, K-Bay.
What's up, y'all?
And he's not here tonight, but happy birthday, Bar. Today's his birthday.
Yep, happy birthday, dog.
Yep. I think about 3 or 4 years ago, I got it right. I thought this nigga's birthday was April 1st for like about the first 15 years of our friendship, you know. Every year he'd be like, Tone, it's not my birthday. I'm like, for real? It's like, why you just, you know, I'm sure he didn't use the word trolling, but I was like, nah, dog, like, you know, you put some shit in your calendar and you don't change it, you know, so pop up every year.
Yeah. So why don't you just change it then?
Yeah. Nah, but
You like this better, you know?
It's better?
Yeah.
Nah, you know what? I still have a problem syncing up all my calendars because I start with a calendar on Outlook with a PC. Mm-hmm. Come on, yeah. Come on, Kenny. I'm telling the truth here, man.
All right. Go ahead.
I start with a calendar on Outlook on, you know, when I had a PC. Then, it was still a PC, but I got, like, another Outlook account, and I started buying them damn Sony Vios and shit. Them shits be pretty as shit for, like, 2 weeks, and they start, you know, getting viruses. Because they PCs.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what they do.
Yeah. Then, I got another account when I got my first iPhone, and then I rolled that into when I started getting like Macs and shit. So, I mean, I can show you how I got like that orange dot next mm-hmm. to my calendar. I got that purple dot
mm-hmm.
and that blue dot. See, yeah. Now you see what I'm saying, huh? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I gotta go and change all this shit for everything, yo. I think that's a job.
Well, you just can't opt out, you know?
Yeah, like. But then, if you, like, cancel one of them, you're going to, like, cancel yeah. certain contacts
yeah.
and, you know, other people's birthdays. And I'm like,
yeah.
Your birthday about to be the first, nigga. But, you know, I did change it on my iPhone, though. So, you know, that's why I use primarily as, you know, my form of communication. Mm. So, when it pops up on there, I'm like, oh, same birthday. Mm. How about that?
Mm.
So, man. Anyway. I'm sitting here watching the white boy, not Drake, but the other white boy, 1090 Jake, over here exposing Rick Ross, talking
now,
about his fake relationship with Kenneth Booby Williams. Mm-hmm. Now, take that, you freak.
That's his real name, man?
Yeah, that's... That. Dog, before all this, like...
Oh, you ain't bullshitting.
No, like, when Ross first came out, you know, his crew's name was Carol City Cartel.
Yeah.
And like, they were all, like, little homies of, like the biggest drug dealer in they fucking hood, whose name was Kenneth Booby Williams.
Yeah, dog.
You ain't know this, yeah?
Nah, yeah. Yeah, I thought you was bullshitting, you know.
And they call themselves Booby Boys?
Yeah, I'm reading it now. This uh-huh. is very interesting. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. Put that in your calendar, nigga. Fuck out of here. Yeah.
I mm-hmm. know who he was going to talk about, your man, you know. Was that really Ross in that video, you know?
Yes, nigga.
It is?
Yes, nigga.
Man, I was, whew. I know them pictures was bad enough. I didn't know that was video, you know.
Nigga, me neither, you know. That shit like in 4K, too, you know.
See, that's why I was like, hold up, is that really him, though, you know?
Dog, that nigga and that motherfucker marching like Gomer Pyle, you know.
Hey, Tom, for real. Nah, for real. For real. For real. It could just be a fat nigga like that look like him. You know? I'm just saying, is that like for real? Like, we confirmed it. That's definitely him. That's really real.
Dog, that's what everybody is saying. I just watched like two breakdown videos and shit. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like 99% sure, yeah.
So this nigga was fake ass police in jail, and like we all just supposed to go along with it then?
Dog, niggas been going along with it. See, Kenny, this is what I was saying last week when I was on here saying and shit, yeah. To get me to care about J. Cole apologizing when we got niggas lying about writing rhymes, niggas lying about being drug kingpins, mm-hmm. and all this shit, like, man, that's light, yeah. But, you know.
You said I just like dudes on both.
That shit light, yeah. Yeah. Hey, I got a fine dude, John. He a national treasure. He don't even know it.
Don't even know it.
He ain't even know, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That shit was good, yeah.
Wasn't it good?
Hey, yeah. He was hitting that joint from his cerebellum. He's like, that shit light.
He was so disgusted.
Yeah, he's like, we rocking with shit like this, and that shit light though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That dog, everything except for like that motherfucking video of that nigga marching and shit, in training class and shit. 50 done said all this shit 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, it's been about that long, yeah.
And Ross was nowhere near as big as he is now. And motherfuckers ain't care back then, young.
Yeah.
So people ain't gonna care about this. Like, dog, there are no rules in hip hop, young. It's about what you like and what you decide to cube and be, young. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my last rant was when niggas didn't care about people writing, young. Like, that don't matter, young. Like, nah, shit sound good, man. Fuck all that writing shit. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. That was a real eye-opening moment for me, too. I got into it in a group chat with somebody who... I was like, yeah, you can't sit up here and tell me somebody's the best rapper of all time and they don't write their shit. Like, what the fuck? Like I'm at... Like, I was so confused, you know? Like, that don't matter. That's all how you rap, rhyme, all... Like, has it always been that way? That's not questioning myself. Like,
no.
Am I crazy? Like, the reason why people have always thought the people who are the best rappers of all time is because they the ones who's pinning that shit.
Dog, the two original
rules. That's the fucking talent, yo.
Dog, the two original rules in hip-hop was you can't be a biter and you gotta write your shit, yo.
That's it.
That's the foundation of rapping. But it don't matter, so okay. I mean, it's still gonna matter to me, but I'm not gonna stay on this motherfucking hill and die by myself about some shit that nobody else care about, you know?
Yeah.
Nah, that's crazy. Yeah. So have at it, you know.
Have like, at it, you know? Yeah, basically.
Yeah, but don't come be like, well, cold career over. I'm like
He can't come back from this. For real?
He can't come back from like going in lightheartedly with a whack ass this and this saying, you know what? I was tripping, y'all. I don't want no part of this shit, y'all.
Yeah.
So sure he can't. He just can't diss nobody. Now, I will stand on that, y'all, because anybody he go at now that ain't on fucking Kendrick level and shit, y'all, it's going to look like he a bitch, y'all. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to like, you know, Lil Pump come back at him, motherfucking Tekashi, anybody, he's got to eat that now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What you think of his album? Did we ever talk about that?
Nah, I think he was off last week, so.
Okay.
Nah, man, I like that joint a lot. I like it better than the Fall Off. I like it better than the Fall Off. And what's on Sam last week? That song with Daylight and Ab Soul is probably my favorite song this year, man. I played that joint. About 15, 20 times, yeah, over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to it a lot over the last 2 days, like when I got down to Florida. It was like maybe 30 minutes. to where I was going, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. Yeah. So I had a lot of time to listen to it on the plane or whatever, and I was like, yeah, this is on lice.
Man, that's a sweet spot over soul beats, man. Soul beats and samples.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on a couple of his albums early on, like, you know, really good, but that's when he was doing, like, the bulk of the production himself. But since he kind of stepped out and started getting other people's beats and shit, man, it's kind of like, you know, just like the run he's going on doing these features and shit over other beats, it's like, man, damn, he good. But that's because he's over other productions. Kind of similar to like when Wayne stepped out for Manny Fresh. You know, he was good with Manny Fresh, but then when he started rapping over New York beats and, you know, Swizz and all this other shit like that, like, oh no, he got another level. He got another gear. You know what I mean? So I think that's what a lot of people who might not have been, like, you know, Cole fans throughout his early career kind of have seen over the past 2 or 3 years, like, oh yeah, you give him another beat that we used to hear an ex, you know, rapper on or whatever, he might murder him, you know. No fucking greater illustration of that than that Uncle P's Caddy joint with Conway. Was it Conway or Benny? Always mixing them up and shit, man. But yeah, that's probably the verse of the year, what, 2022, I want to say? Yeah, he dropped that shit in January. That shit lasted a whole fucking year. Ain't nobody killed in a fucking verse like that the whole year. So, but yeah, man, this beef, I've kind of, like, not been on this shit. Like, you know, putting Cole aside with like, Drake shit and then Ross shit. For one main reason, Kenny, I've kind of gotten into the past 2 days, finally, you know, is because I didn't know what was real and what wasn't, you know. These AI motherfucking disses, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to give my attention to some shit when I don't know if it's real or not. So, you know, that Drake joint was on the street for a couple of days, and I just didn't get to listen, you know, because the last time he dropped a diss, that joint, that back-to-back joint, the nigga had a rollout. He had the motherfucking album done, the art cover with motherfucking Joe Carter hitting the motherfucking Grand Slam against the Phillies and shit. You know what I'm saying? He had like the shit on the official OVO SoundCloud page. This shit just leaked, and I was like, that ain't really how that nigga move, young. So I can't be out here motherfucking giving critiques to motherfucking robots, young. But when that shit got, you know. It obviously was leaked by mistake or whatever, or on purpose, or whatever the fuck, or whatever. And it was legit diss. I heard that joint. Then Ross came right back in 2 hours and shit. But to be quite honest, Sean, you know, the Drake joint is good, you know. But it's the Ross antics for me, dog.
Yeah.
He funny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that BBL Drizzy, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That shit good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You heard the different variations of it?
Oh, no. Well, I might have missed some of those. Where's some more?
I just seen all these AI-generated versions of BBO Drizzy over the last...
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about, like, if he had other names for Drake. I know he had a fake nose. He said he had a fake nose. Fake nose Drizzy. BBO Drizzy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he had other names.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, between those AI joints, I just mistakenly heard a fake Kendrick AI joint, you know? I was like, man.
And the dude who made it showed how he made the joint.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I mean, it sound good, you know, but that, it's kind of taking the steam out of this shit for me, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I just want to hear the niggas who rap. Drop their raps, huh? But I mean, if you're an up and coming producer, or whatever, it's actually a smart move, you know? Because like, after I hear some shit produced like that, I'm like, hey, man, but I need to get you on an album. So I get it, but you know, I just don't like the uncertainty from a fan standpoint and shit, you know. Niggas having breakdowns and round tables and shit about these motherfucking disses and them shits is, you know, it's motherfucking Rosie from the goddamn Jetsons and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you knew at least 90s or whatever, 2000s. You know? Yeah, it was going to be on the album. Think about No Vaseline. That's the last song, you know. Cuba sitting there like, yeah, why? It ain't over. It's like, I forgot something. And it was no doubt. You know what I'm saying? Hit him up. It was the B-side of a Tupac single. You heard that motherfucker. Like, it's no doubt. Now, the fact that, like you said, the fact that you even got to doubt whether or not this is actually the artist themselves actually releasing shit. Yeah, it does take steam out of it. Yeah.
So I'd rather wait and be sure than to jump out the window and then gotta sit there looking stupid with my lips poked out and shit because it's a goddamn bot, you know? Mm-hmm. But just another fucking adjustment we gotta make in hip hop, you know? So I guess if I can get over niggas not writing they shit, not being original, I can get over some bots, you know?
Yeah.
I hate it here sometimes, Kenny. I really do too,
you know?
All right, that's this week in Old Man Rap. What's going on with you, man? How you been, bro?
I'm doing all right, man. I told you, pre-pry had a big show yesterday, big project, a lot to coordinate, and, you know, doing 3 hours of live television straight, no breaks. It's a lot, man, and, you know, to be able to pull something like that off, man, I've just been relieved, I'm saying, over the last day. Just looking forward to getting some sleep. If at all you're interested in, you know, college football, the landscape of college athletics, NIL, whatever it may be, check out 24/7 Sports. I did a 3-hour show yesterday. Check it out. We put everything in there, man. We left no stone unturned. So, that's what I've pretty much been consuming over the last, I'd say, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, man. So, like I said, just glad it's over, relieved, and from, you know, everyone's telling me they did a great job. So, yeah.
Kenny, we'll jump into sports in a minute, but seeing as though it's not really a lot of college football to talk about, obviously no season right now. What do you think about the young man from Alabama transferring back? What's his name again?
Caden Proctor,
yeah. And how long are they going to let niggas get away with this?
That's the thing. At some point, the NCAA is going to have to step in and try to regulate what's going on, but they don't want to do that because they don't want to have a revenue sharing model. They don't want collective bargaining. But then again, you have some people that will say, like, why should college athletes have to, at some point, come under the, you know, the model of employer-employee. Like, why should they do it? Because right now, the fact that there are no rules is actually beneficial to the athletes because there is no cap. Mm-hmm. And there's no rules now as, you know, as it pertains to how players interact with collectives. Collectives can now negotiate directly with athletes the terms of, you know, whatever they want. And like I said, the NCAA doesn't want to do anything. Like, they keep being taken to court, and judges are like, yeah, you can't do this. Like, so, for example, with this portal window that just opened up yesterday, it closes at the end of the month, as opposed to the last portal window that was back in December, that was the one with was it back in January? I think it was January. Because I know Nick Saban left January 10th. No. He was able to leave because his coach left. But even still, like the last portal window, you couldn't have athletes go in who had already transferred one and then transfer again without penalty. Because, like, you remember when we was coming up, if somebody transferred, they had to sit out.
Yeah, yep.
All right, so then that changed, like, with COVID, and it's okay, now with COVID, you can, you know, transfer and be immediately eligible, but then people started taking the NCAA to court, and it's like, why should I have to sit out at all? Mm-hmm. So then it was like, okay, now you can transfer once without penalty, but now you can transfer as many times as you want. And I was talking to like one of our reporters, and he was saying, I think it was a Power Five coach told him like he could foresee in the immediate future like a player transferring 10 times by the time they're done with their college career. Like they just bounce around because, again, as long as like they're in good academic standing, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So with him, Nick Saban leaves. He's from Iowa, transferred to Iowa. There's some debate about how much money he got paid from this NIL deal that, you know, back in Iowa. There's some debate about that. The swarm that's Iowa's NIL collective is saying, like, well, we didn't really pay him directly. He got a deal with a car dealership. I don't know what, like, again, there seems to be some confusion with that. But he never practiced with the team. He transferred to Iowa, never practiced with the team. And apparently some people say he went on a spring break trip with some of his former Alabama teammates. And they was like, yeah, Kalen DeBoer, who's the new coach of Alabama? Like, we good. And then, without even practicing with Iowa, we really doubt that he was intended to enter the transfer portal again when it opened up yesterday. And that's exactly what happened. And it's all but a foregone conclusion he's going back to Alabama. Like, he was even at A-Day, which is their spring game this past Saturday. But, like, now that's, you know, and we talked about it on the show, and I even brought it up. It's like, we should talk about whether or not this is, like, going to be the new norm in college sports. But it seems like that's what it is. It's basically, like, now free agency where, again, as long as you're a good academic standing, you can just go into the portal when these portal windows open, and, you know, as long as there's someone who's willing to give you a scholarship, yeah, and entice you with potential NIL money, yeah.
But that's where it differs from free agency, because free agency don't come with a check until you sign.
You're saying free agency doesn't come with a check until you sign?
Yeah. And then when you sign, you actually have to play. Yeah.
It depends. Like, if you're getting a guaranteed contract in the NBA, it's guaranteed. Okay. So you can fake, like, yeah, I got a knee injury and I don't feel like playing. You still got to pay you.
Yeah, but you're not walking across the street and playing for somebody else, though. It's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's the one thing that this Kane Proctor thing has brought up is, like, people saying, all right, what kind of parameters do we have to put around these contracts that make them null and void if someone doesn't do A, B, and C?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not, you know, just like hearing the full story, that could very well be, you know, the complete tale of this. Like, you know, he had some unsurety because Saban left, whatever, so the program wasn't in the same stand that he came to it under, and, you know, he wanted to go back home, that fucked the, you know, save his place or whatever. And then when he kind of hung out with his boys and found out that, you know, Alabama's still going to be Alabama, according to them or whatever, he had a change of heart. But, you know, it could also be the other way. And more importantly, when it's just human nature, when people see a hole in the system, something that they can exploit, everybody's not going to be tried and true with their and forthcoming with their decisions or whatever. It's going to be people out here chasing checks, man. So if I know, if I can get some NIL money from, you know, from spring until, you know, whatever, December, when the college football season ends, and then, you know, I can spend a spring somewhere and get some money and then, you know, not even play a fucking snap for them and then go somewhere else or come back to the original place. Like, oh, that's a flip, you know?
Like, it's definitely a finesse, no doubt about it. Yeah.
It's going to be, it would definitely be people out here taking advantage of that shit. So there has, well, you know, if I'm the NCAA, if I'm, you know, the commissioner of the Big Ten or, you know, the AD at Michigan, you know, I'm going to definitely look at things like, let me be a manager of risk and voice my opinion and my concerns about this shit happening to us. As well as little schools, too. Like, you know, I mean, you know, might not be powerhouse schools or whatever, man, but, you know, who knows if you're on the other end of that shit where, you know, you're just being used in the middle of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can just be a stopgap. Like, you know, some kid might be from fucking South Carolina and then goes back home to South Carolina for the summer or whatever, and tells them that they, like, he wants to transfer back home because his mother's ailing or something like that, and then turns right back around at the beginning of the season, goes somewhere, like, dog, like, it's gonna be some finesses and some just some lies being told, you know? So, I think this is just a transitional period right now. NCAA gonna have to do something about this shit.
I don't think so, but...
like, if it ain't nothing but, like, you know, the first transfer is no penalty, the second transfer is a penalty, something, it feels like it's too much at stake for nothing to be done.
Oh, the NCAA don't want to go down this road, you know. They don't want to share the pot. So they just going to say, like, all right, it's going to be on the fans. It's on the fans because, like, they say, hey, fans should donate to NIL Collective so we can attract more talent. But then, like, why are the fans footing the bill?
Right. Same fucking Green Bay.
Nah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we will see.
Mm-hmm. We will see.
All right. What we got? Oh, over the weekend, I was proud to attend my folks' new opening of their the latest business venture. New bar, District Alley H. So they had one on U Street and they had one on H Street now. So.
Oh, that joint opened, good.
Yeah, yeah. So they had a soft opening 2 weeks ago, but I wasn't able to go because I have my sisters in town. And
okay.
The real opening was on Saturday night. And all your boys there. C's wasn't there, but Kev was there. Ron was there. Guess who... your man Mike Jones' new bestie is, yo.
Who that?
Rome.
Really?
Hey, Kenny. So, me and Rome got up there, whatever, around 11 or so, man. So, you know, one of the co-owners of District Alley is my homegirl, Danielle. So, she went to Hampton. So, you know, Hampton always shows up strong in the building. And, yeah, man. Mike had one arm out of his shirt, so he was drunk and hot. So
okay. Yep. One out. Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah.
So I just know some
had your kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Had your kids. Had your wife. So I saw him at one point over there talking to Rome and shit. And I was like, oh, I ain't know them niggas even know each other and shit, man. So I'm way over there and shit, man. I was like, oh man. You know my man Rome and shit. He's like, nah, I just met him, man. He a good dude though, man. And I said, okay, let's see what just happened here, you know? And he's like, man, as a matter of fact, man, he got me thinking though, like, you know, our school is better than y'all school because we are a technical school. Yeah, man, your man recommended that we change our name to Hampton Tech, man. I think I kind of agree with him. I was like, yeah, he got you. He got you drunk, and he. That nigga pulled the rug from under you, you know. I was smiling, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There wouldn't be HU no more, yo.
Yeah. That HT, you know.
HT.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. So, yeah. Me and Rome started throwing HTs the rest of the night. You know, was,
yeah, yeah, I bet y'all good, did. You know? I bet y'all did. Yeah.
Yeah, like about the fifth HT, yeah. Mike started scratching his head like, yeah.
They got me.
Got me.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was pretty good. More of the story, never trust Rome. It's always a play. Always a play.
Yeah, I'd have sniffed that out immediately, you know, but yeah. Some damn HTM. You know. Well, yeah, niggas, I swear to God, you know. But then I guess if you're used to it, yeah. But you're not used to it, man.
Yeah, then you got, you know, heat and dark liquor also. Mm-hmm. So those factors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but good time, and you know, congrats to them, man. And hope they gain another crowd there. I think they're not gonna have a problem doing that, because I think it's a lot of people going on that side of Northeast, and then going back towards Southeast, that will attract like a different clientele than this side, which is Uptown. I know it's kind of difficult for people who are not from DC to kind of understand that, but like, mm-hmm. this is actually, I was talking to Sam, like, this is actually not too far from his house, so probably meet him and Marty up there at some point and kick it there. But I think my home base will always be U Street, just because it's closer to the crib.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, you know, just the damn lift price. This is like a regular ass Saturday. That joint was $23, Sean.
Damn!
Like, that's not even, well, like, crazy.
Hold on, Tone. So, let me know when you finish this, because that kind of reminds me of something I wanted to mention real quick. Go ahead.
No, yeah, but yeah, like, that was like $23, and that was for the joint I waited, like, the 15 minute wait joint. Like, if I wanted to get a 5 minute joint, you know, it'd have been $30. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, a joint up U Street, man, you know, during a surge, like, you know, this is not the regular price, y'all. This is a surge price, which, you know, around the time clubs close, like between 2 and 3 o'clock or whatever, you know, it goes up a certain percentage or whatever. So during a surge on U Street, I might pay like $15. But, you know, usually I can catch a joint between 10 and 12. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Mm. So, just something to think about, you know.
Yeah.
So, what you saying?
I've been looking for, you know, more passive streams of income, young. And I think it was Mr. Hate Coffee. Hit me up on Twitter last week and was like, hey, young, and showed me a picture of a Dreo box, you know. And it was like, hey, young, went ahead, got this junk, man. You know, give me some recipes or whatever. I was like, man, congrats, blah, 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 blah. He was like, yeah, you should have an affiliate link. Like, guess what? How many people by this point have bought them joints? And a lot of times, you're not even really thinking about shit like that. Like, we've been sizing it on the podcast just because it's doing good.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
But when he mentioned that affiliate, like, I was like, So when I looked into it, Amazon got a, you know, program you can just sign up or whatever. And if somebody go on their site and use the link that you give them, it's going to be the same price or whatever like that, but they may get a little something on the side. And, so I'm going to do that. So, just FYI, if anybody out there wants to buy a Dreo, been thinking about doing it, if you want to do it, hit me up on Twitter, send an email to highfivestar@gmail.com. I seen the link. And, yeah, might get a little, like I said, it ain't going to make me rich or whatever, but, Tone, you mentioned that lift. Yeah, these bills starting to just kick my ass, you know, because I don't understand why everything costs what it costs. And, yeah, every little bit help. Every little bit.
Man.
So, yeah.
It's just the cost of being outside, Kenny.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
So, you talking about two brothers who, you know, I got my foot outside, but it's not the way it was outside 4 years ago.
Sure.
I don't eat out nearly as much as I used to.
Right. Me neither.
I might go out like once a weekend now, is, you know, since the weather's turning, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. in the winter times, like maybe once every 2 weeks or something like that, whatever, man. And yeah, you know, like all that money I was saving during COVID, you know, man.
Slim.
And then, you know, the bullshit, you gotta always account for the bullshit, like, you know, that damn car repair bill I had a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, my sisters have been in town, so I gotta, like, you know, just get everything that they might want, need, and shit. Like, man, it's way different than, you know, man, people be out here complaining about motherfucking COVID. Then, dog, I saved a lot of fucking money during COVID, you know? So you kind of gotta pick your poison out here, man. So I can imagine people whose money habits have never changed. If you might live like down south or some shit, you know, like a lot of shit wasn't closed, so you would always spend the same. And then inflation hit, you know? Hey, man, shit make a difference. Motherfucking right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, just being transparent about this shit. Up to this point, everything I said about the trio, and I'd assume everything you said about that joint, is 100% fact, you know? It's a... Yeah. It's a miracle machine, as far as I'm concerned, you know. So, and so no bullshit, you know. It may have been by this point, like, at least 8 or 9 people that just hit me up on Twitter. Man? Yeah. Like, pictures of that Dreo box, you know. Yeah. And the thing about the Amazon affiliate joint, you got to make, I think it's 3 sales in the first 150 days, or they close your account. So, I'm just trying to get to the first 3, so I ain't going to shut my shit down. But again, like I said, man, every little bit helped, you know? If you're going to buy it anyway, so that, and I also didn't even know, like, the damn, the weight loss program I was on, they had one too. Find out about that. So sign up for that. So if you go to the, link on my bio, on my Twitter page, yeah, just by going to the link. If I get, I guess, another clicks on that link or whatever like that, I get a little something or whatever. So, yeah. Like I said, man, every little bit helps. Because, yeah, you know, shit is... Yeah, shit don't make no sense how much stuff costs out here. You know? I went to Walmart the other day to get some water. And I said, let me just go over here, because I never buy, like, seafood and stuff like that from Walmart. I said, let me just go over here. I'm just curious to see how much, like, does a steak cost. Nigga, they went, like, $18-$19 for, like, one steak in Walmart, you know? I'm like, what the fuck is going on? For one?
Yep. And it's Walmart.
Come on. And it's, that's the thing, Tone.
Look, man, I think I said it on here before, like, during Christmas, I just kept on trying to find a prime rib to cook for the holidays or whatever, and literally, in like 2.5 weeks, I kept on finding them joints for better prices, so I ended up with fucking 3 prime ribs and shit. So, I cooked one during the holidays, I cooked one while my sisters were here, and I had one more left. I had one more bone in and shit, man. So I was just bumping around YouTube and shit, and it's like, man, you want to know how to save money on steak? Just buy a prime rib, cut that motherfucker into 4s and shit, and then freeze them individually, whatever, and then, you know, you have 3, like, restaurant-sized prime ribs rather than going and paying top dollar for, like, a joint that might be an inch thick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Might not have a fucking rib cap on it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I have that built in because I already have one and shit, but that might be how I buy my fucking prime ribs now. I mean, my bone and, steaks and shit, man, because if you buy them individually, man, they expensive as shit, you know?
No, they hit your head, you know? And I've seen people, like, over the years, whether it be, like, on Reddit or whatever, like, these message boards talk about, like, just going to Costco and just buying, like, the big slab, whatever, and then cutting it, you know what I'm saying, themselves at home, and how much money you can save. But I'm like, dog, I ain't gonna eat, you know, maybe that much. But like you say, you could freeze it or whatever. And yeah. Yeah. It's a whole hell of a lot more economical, because when people start doing the math on the joints, like, yeah, I bought it for this, I cut in this many steaks or whatever, you know, you start doing the math. Yeah, it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. But, like, dog, that shit, like, I was kind of like standing there stunned. I'm like, dog, this is wild, dude.
I mean, I remember the first time I walked into Costco over the past, like, 3 years, And them goddamn wings jumped up $5, young. You know, my eyes got so big, young. Mm-hmm. I was like, wings?
Yeah. Still cheaper than you get them anywhere else, but still, you know.
Yeah, young, but it ain't for the 20, though, young.
Yeah, right.
So. Hard times, hard times. What you know about hard times?
Right.
All right.
But again, my real quick again, just like the drill, weight loss shit work. Yeah, lost a lot of pounds, you know. So yeah, if anybody you know is trying to lose that weight, man, I'm not gonna say it's foolproof because you still actually have to like, you know, follow the plan, but the easiest thing I've ever been on, young, and the weight flew. I lost 45 pounds in the first month. I keep telling people that they don't believe it, but it happened. Yeah. So, yeah. And don't just take my word for it. There's a lot of people that listen to this podcast I put on, and they've done the same thing. So, yeah. So, if you're interested, it's at KBADS, KBADDS. And like I said, even if you're not interested, just click the damn link.
Yeah.
it costs you nothing. So,
it costs nothing. All right, let's jump into the NBA. The Sixers game just went to halftime, I think. So last night, the Lakers, we played in a play-in game. I kind of get how this shit works now. So we were playing a 6-7 game, I mean a 7-8 game, and the Kings and the Warriors played a 9-10 game. So we won, so we're locked in the 6th seed. Right,
I thought I locked in as the 7th seed.
Yeah, we're locked in as the 7th seed, and now the winner of the Kings and New Orleans game tomorrow night gets locked in as the 8th, and the loser goes home. With the Warriors already going home because they lost last night. So, after 3 years of this shit, I finally got how it works. But yeah, we won last night, and I guess it's a good thing. I'm not sure if we just gonna be fucking like lunch meat for whoever it is. I don't know if it's a Nuggets or OKC. I think OKC is the first seed, right? I wanna see, man. I got a goddamn computer right here, man, asking these questions. Go to the NBA. They don't even have the fucking playoff matchups, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. OKC is the first seed. Yep, so we are locked in as the 7th. So we play Minnesota. Nope. We're going to play Denver. That sucks. And the winner of the New Orleans-Sacramento game is going to play OKC because they are the number one seed. I guess they have a tiebreak over Denver because they both had the same record. Okay. Oh, the Clippers going to play Dallas first round. That's going to be a good ass series. Okay. And Atlanta plays Chicago after the Philly and Miami game tonight. So, yeah. That's the playoffs, man. Fucking Warriors got their ass kicked last night, too, you know. Like, they didn't go fighting, you know.
Was Clay really scoreless? I have no idea. I was, you know, on a plane, so. And I didn't,
oh, yeah. You know. Oh, yeah, man. He went 0-for, you know. And Harrison made the dynasty die nasty last night. He had 17. That sports parody, y'all. God love it. Yeah, so what's the name that was up there with his lips poked out? Draymond talking about they need to do good by Clay, whatever. How much money is he asking for? Because did he get benched this year too?
It's over, you know. They ain't gotta do that, you know. It's over.
I mean, I'm not opposed to him giving some money, but if he still want like star money, that's just not good business.
Yeah, it may not just be good business to sign him anyway. Tone, like,
hey, I'm not saying I would and shit, young, but if that's what Steph want, young, and
Tone, at some point,
I don't think he gonna be good, but like, I don't think he's as, like, he's not 0-for-10 washed, young. He's had a bad game, young. But at the same time, you know, the big knock on him his whole career has been he can't dribble, so if his shot ain't falling the same way.
But what, what I'm saying, I'm not saying he's washed. What I'm saying is that, like, the Warriors dynasty is over. So at some point, you got to get on with the rebuilding part. I'm not saying he's washed. Yeah. I'm not saying he still can't play in the NBA. But what I'm saying is that you don't necessarily owe him, and then you owe the fans, and you owe, you know, other people within the organization who may feel the same way. It's like, look, I understand people are going to be sentimental about this whole little thing. Like, the Warriors did something that people probably thought Golden State would ever do. Yeah, and they've been a force to be reckoned with for a long time in the NBA, but, like, nothing lasts forever. And if you know, like, the team isn't good enough anymore to be, like, a legitimate contender year in and year out for an NBA title, because that's what they should be judged by, because that's what they brought, that's what they've done, that's what they're known for. But, if that's not possible with the roster that they have, at some point you got to move on, you know? And that may mean not having him as part of the team if you know that this team can't win it anymore.
So, how much you think he's worth a year?
So I can't answer that question because people get contracts now all the time. I'm like, what? How the fuck did that happen?
Man, that's what I'm saying, yo. So, is he worth 15? 18?
Tone, this 20? Again, I can't answer that question anymore, you know.
I don't know, young. And does he want a 2-year contract, a 3? Like, because it's only gonna get worse, young.
Because somebody could tell me right now that Warriors may offer him like 2 years, $60 million, and tell me like, oh yeah, that's not about right. And I don't know. Or 2 years, it could be 2 years, $40 million.
Hey, Kenny, you know how I know I'm washed, young? Because I remember that was a big selling point for Jordan coming back. He was going to get that $34 million, which was going to have him making more money than Tony Kukoc.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you know, $34 million was a lot of fucking money. It's still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for the best nigga in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you be having niggas like, you know, no, don't disrespect him watching him play. Right. You be having niggas like Terrence, man, getting 35, you know, like, dog. This money is crazy, young. Giving away checks like pizza slices.
Yeah.
Look up Clay contract, man. So he signed that 5-year, $189 million. Woof. Let me see. Clay contract offer. Let me see if they... They offered him a 2-year, $48 million extension in the offseason last year. And that's before this year. So do they stand pat there, or do they lower that offer to 2 years, $40 million? Or less than that?
This nigga Brad Beal is scheduled to make $57 million a year in 2026, 2027.
Yeah, yeah.
He getting 46 a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be 50. It's gonna be 50 next year. They gonna make 50 in 1 year.
And get to play with two niggas where he ain't gonna get blamed, young, when they lose, you know.
Yeah, think about it. That's the best.
It's the best situation. It's the best, yo.
History, yo.
It's the best, yo.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. That's like Mike Sherrard going out there with motherfucking Jerry Rice and John Taylor, yeah. Like, shit, it ain't my fault. Nigga, holler them niggas, holler at Brent Jones, holler at Roger Craig. Like, nigga, this ain't on me, young. But get paid like them niggas, though, young.
More than them niggas.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Brad Dog, young.
Yeah, if you look on spotrack.com, you know, Spot Track, whatever the fuck it is, that's where I go to get all the contract information and shit. Yeah, you know. He's right there above my fucking Devin Booker. Yeah, Giannis.
Luka, dog.
Joel Embiid. Yeah.
Dog.
Still scrolling down, you know.
Kenny, in the next 2 years, young, Brad and motherfucking Jason Tatum gonna be able to buy St. Louis, yo. Just buy all the land, young. And just build like a light skin compound, young.
Yeah. Yeah, big ass motherfucking note right under. Yeah, he the only nigga. Yeah, I'm scrolling. Until you get Rudy Gobert, they got a little note next to this contract originally signed with Washington. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This 5-year, $251 million contract, including $251 million guaranteed. Yeah, no trade clause there.
He should get like a tailor-made clothing line called Brad Eats, young. Fuck everybody, young. Brad.
Oh, man.
That's an absurd amount of money, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog, like, in 18 years, young, I don't want to hear nothing about these niggas broke, young. I went here like, dog, this is almost can't fuck it up money, young. Like, this ain't motherfucking Antoine Walker and fucking a $40 million. Nah, nigga. Yeah. These niggas getting that in more in one season, young.
Yeah.
Nah, man. This is generational wealth, young. I don't wanna hear no sad stories about these niggas. Well, yeah, you know, I invested in, you know, I built that restaurant, and so, you know, the insurance, I didn't have it in place when it got the fire. Like, nah, nigga.
Nah.
You nah. Should build 50, you know how many restaurants you used to have? 50! Nigga, you should be able to have as many bad business ventures as Steve Harvey had buttons on his suit.
Yeah, no bullshit, you know.
And still be rich, you know?
Especially all y'all doing is serving motherfucking with fried catfish and grits, you know? Yeah. Motherfucking lamb chops and shit. Yeah.
So, how expensive is that grass wall, you know? is it made of gold?
Yeah, dog. Motherfucking elevated brunch spot, you know? Yeah. Y'all niggas going broke, you know? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. There's only but so much Hennessy you can put on them motherfucking waffles, you know, so.
Them waffles, you know? Hey, dog. It would be some nigga who played in the league to open a brunch spot, you know, and make some shit like some Hennessy waffles or some Hennessy wings.
Yeah.
And put that motherfucking, like, made with XO Hennessy.
Yeah.
For a premium price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw somebody on Twitter the other day, you know, make something like some Hennessy salmon or something like that, you know. They quote to that joint said, man, if salmon had feet, they would run from black people, you know. Hey. Yeah, I cooked like 5 minutes all day. Good God damn, that's funny.
I don't know why I picture. I just picture a piece of salmon with some chicken legs, you know, some fat chicken legs, just booking up the street.
Running from niggas, you know. Salmon to do chicken, you know.
Oh man, Lord help us all when niggas discover polenta. What? Yeah. This better.
Yeah.
The money is crazy. Yeah. The money is crazy. So, I don't know how much they could offer him. I just hope he doesn't, like, take that shit personal and go somewhere and get less money. Like, you know, if you're going to do it like Saquon did. Go get more money than we were offering you and shit, man. Because if you had took the same thing that, you know, we offered him and shit, man, like, it'd have been fuck that nigga. But, you know, he got more money from somebody who's willing to pay him and shit. So, that's understandable.
Right.
If Clay's taking this shit personal and he goes, like, to fucking, I don't know, if he comes here and shit, you know, for around the same money, like, what's the purpose? Other than your pride. Like, you know. So, we will see, you know, but, it's going to be an interesting offseason for them, man. They just fucked it up in that Wiseman draft, man. You got to get a star at number one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were set up, I mean, you know, might not have been the best year or whatever, man, to have the number one pick, man, but I'm sure it was good players in that fucking draft, you know? Like, they just got somebody who just didn't fit them, you know? And they couldn't develop him, and it bit them in the ass in the end. So, sucks for them.
Yep.
All right, Yeah, other than these playing games, I really don't have anything until, like, you know, the real season starts and shit, man. So, I guess you haven't been on. Congrats to South Carolina and congrats to, oh no, we did the men's, so you did congratulate UConn. Yeah, congrats to South Carolina and congrats to, Indiana and Caitlin Clark. She'll be what are they, the Fever?
I believe so.
Yeah, she'll be a Fever this upcoming season. And yeah, I saw people talking about the women's salaries. Yeah, that league gotta make some money for them to get more money, man. So I don't know what the big discrepancy is there. But, yeah, gotta make money to get money. So, I'm sure she's going to, like, you know, raise some ratings, at least in the short term, beginning of the season, of this year, whatever. And we'll see how, you know, the ratings looking on in the calendar year, man, to see if it warrants, these ladies getting paid more money.
We'll see.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got sports wise, Kenny? I don't have shit.
Like I said, man, I just been so focused on college football, man. I think we talked about this before the show. Like, yeah, I really don't have a whole lot, man. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to our second segment, entertainment, and KB, what you watching?
I did give that Good Times. Mm. Cartoon on Netflix a chance. Yeah, I watched the whole first episode now, and yeah, it's just as bad as people been saying now.
Damn.
Tone, in the first minute, you know, the father, I think he's James Evans' grandson. They still live in the projects, by the way, and look like the same style apartment they had on Good Times, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's taking a shower with and singing, and there's a roach in the shower singing along with him. You could tell Seth MacFarlane has something to do with it because, yeah, you got a mother, father, daughter, son, baby. And the baby talks like an adult. But in this show, the baby is actually being kicked out of the house for selling drugs. The baby. I can keep going, young. It's bad now. It's bad now.
I'd be more than willing to trash this joint, but I actually like the voice actors, so I'm trying not to hate it with all my heart. That's the main reason I haven't watched it, because I know if I watch it, I'm gonna be even more angry.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping my distance, Kenny. That's the best I can do.
I agree with like Nevenico Brown, JB Smooth. Like, yeah, I get it. You know, Jay Ferrell's a part of this shit. Nobody I got a problem with. You know, I just don't know how this got past so many people. And I was like, I don't know about this. You know.
Yeah. It's good times, huh?
But a singing roach, huh? Like off the break, you know? The baby don't live in a house because it's been selling drugs?
It sound bad. I hope it sound worse than it actually is, you know?
So again, I was like, I'm gonna give it a chance, you know? Somebody I know hit me up, was like, man, I couldn't even watch this shit past 5 minutes before. I was like, yeah, they gotta be fucking kidding me, you know? And again, I've been hearing this, like, a lot of times you know, you see some shit on social media. Just because a lot of niggas on social media is mad about something, it don't mean that it's really that bad, you know?
Right.
We talk about all the time. It's good to be just outrage flopping and shit. But I was like, just on the strength of the people. Like you said, the people that's involved with it, the voice actors and all this, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and watch it. I'm going to judge for myself. I said, I'm going to watch one whole episode, you know? And I did. And it's bad, you know?
Yeah, man, I said this shit when, I think the first time I really was cognizant of this shit, man, is when the Eagles had that fucking calendar with Riley Cooper, month of February, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Every major corporation, every major, like, you know, organization needs a set of black eyes. And you know what? You know, it doesn't have to just be black. Maybe I need some Asian eyes, like, dog, you need every ethnic group to be covered before you send some shit out to the masses, because once it's out there, you can't take it back, you know? You can't take it back. It just looks bad. It's bad for your business, it's bad for your brand, it's bad for the people who work there, how they feel, morale, all that shit, man. And this is just another example, like, why wasn't there some black eyes on this shit that said, no, we can't do this? We can call these motherfuckers the Goodmans. Anything. They can't be the Evans. This can't be Good Times. Like, never mind, this shit shouldn't come out at all, but we can't put this on a historic, like, a brand that people are attached to with their fucking childhood, you know? Motherfuckers are going to feel a way. It's not going to look good for us. Like, they've got no good pub from this shit, dog. I was on Netflix, I was scrolling a couple of days ago and shit, man, like, it wasn't the top five or top 10 of this, so it's like, you know, you can't say, like, the negative publicity pushed it up. Like, dog, people don't like this shit, and it's not getting the ratings, young, so what's the upside? Hashtag put some black eyes on it. Two motherfuckers writing checks for everything else, young. Write a check for this. Help us help you. Because after this shit, young, you gotta say face, young. Somebody gotta get fired. Hey, man, that's the number one cop off my motherfucking company organization. Oh, yeah, we're making internal changes and shit in here. You know, somebody got laid off or somebody got fired and shit. Like, it gotta be a scapegoat, young.
Mm-hmm.
Bad business, man.
Yeah.
Unless this is the plan all along, put my Tariq hat on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Fuck these niggas. Mm-hmm. We'll make them see what we want them to see. Anyway, what you about to say?
Yeah. Other than that, man, the only thing I saw this week was, I'm trying to think anything else on TV. What is on Amazon Prime? I want to say I looked at something on Amazon Prime. I can't think of what it is.
Fallout?
Yeah, I fell asleep on the first episode. I watched like the first 15 minutes of it. Then I fell asleep on it. You know? Not saying it's bad, but I need to go back to that. Thank you for reminding me of that, what it was. Yeah. And I end up going to the movies and seeing Civil War.
I saw it also.
Interesting. Tone, there's a lot of gratuitous violence in this movie. And tonally, I don't 100% understand some of the choices that they made, you know?
Can I start with California and Texas being in cahoots with each other,
yeah? Yeah, it's just certain things like that I didn't quite understand, you know? Even though there are a lot of conservative areas of California, big state, I try to, you know, make sense of it by saying, like, it's the two biggest states and there are a lot of conservative areas of California, so maybe the most conservative areas of California and Texas came together. I don't know, because, again, this. The numbers maybe may work out. I'm not quite sure, you know, but that did stand out. I would say totally just from, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but like sometimes how the soundtrack can get in the way of a movie. You know? Sometimes I don't understand movies like this that are as kind of as grim as they are, some of the music choices they make during a movie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand some of them in this movie. And yeah, you know, like I know it's doing, from what I've read, like it's doing like good at the box office. A24, the studio that made, I think, has been their most like profitable movie as far as like its opening weekend ever.
Yeah. 24 mil, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so.
150.
Mm-hmm. but yeah, you know, seeing like the Rotten Tomatoes score, Metacritic score. I thought it was okay, you know?
Yeah. First of all, they did a lot of bait and switch here. This movie is not what you think it is, y'all.
So they never really explain the reason for the Civil War.
Right. And I think that's the same reason that they had Texas and California as, I forgot the name of the group that they called them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The political affiliation or whatever. But it's kind of the same reason they kind of inched towards it, but never fully committed to that president being, quote unquote, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Uh-huh.
Right.
Everything is kind of open-ended and open to your interpretation. So where those forces from California and Texas coming to strike down the conservative or the liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at one point, I think, you know, probably I think the most ironic moment of the movie, and It was well planted within, you know, the story was when some forces were firing at the house, and you know, I think what's her girl name? Kristen.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. She was like, you know, which side are you on? And he was like, on the side that's, you know, against the side that's trying to kill us right now. Like, they didn't even know what they were fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of like the ironic twist in all this. But, you know, this movie, you know, the backdrop is a civil war, but it's really about journalism. Kind of the lost art of it, and mm-hmm. And how important it would be during these times where, you know, you need people on the front line. Like, you know, computer's not going to be able to, like, you know, give you a full scope of, you know, something as complex as this in real time. So you need people, and you need fucking, like, journalists with ethics and fucking, you know, and morals, and you know how to fucking, like, cover a story, cover something that's important or whatever. So it takes, you know, four journalists who travel from New York to D.C. as forces are, as rising forces are making their way towards the Capitol to take down a motherfucking president. And just everything that you think would happen during the Civil War is happening, but it's being witnessed and being reported on by, you know, some pretty good journalists. Well, not everybody's a good journalist, but, you know, you have some veterans, and you have, like, a rookie journalist. So it's just, like, you know, just a good mix of people who really just want to get to the meat and potatoes of a story and shit. You know, do anything and everything to get the story, which is kind of the basis of true journalism, which is kind of a lost art. But there's still a lot of gratuitous violence as well, so you got that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is about journalism, though. Yeah. It was interesting, man. It was kind of... I felt a little bait and switchy, you know? Because those commercials, like old boy who was... didn't he play on... what's y'all show? About the motherfucking meth and shit.
Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Breaking Bad. Wasn't he on Breaking Bad at some point, too?
I'm not sure.
Old boy who had the red glasses and shit. What's his name? He's on a rack of shit. Because I think he was on that that Netflix movie that they did for Breaking Bad as well.
What role did he play in this?
He was... crazy ass leader of that little militia group.
Yeah. Okay. You talking about? Yeah. He was in. I don't know if he was in Breaking Bad. I'm trying to think of what he was in. He was in. Yeah, I know you're talking about, though. Yeah.
I'm trying to find him on a damn list, whatever, man. But, you know, he's a pretty recognizable...
very recognizable face, yeah.
Yeah. What is Steve McNally? Yeah, I don't know why his name just doesn't pop up on this shit. But, yeah. He's not here for very long, and... the trailers kind of make you think that he's going to be like some maniacal figure in the film, because he's a recognizable actor or whatever. And, you know, just from the trailer, when you see him, like, he really does stand out, but he's not here for very long, you know. Because it's not really about him or his forces or whatever. It's about the story of covering this uprising. And so... I wasn't necessarily mad about it, but I was kind of like, that's not what I'm really here for. I thought this was going to get, like, you know, a big action movie, huh? But I will give them credit. That last scene, just that one long shot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fucking, like, gruesome, pretty, like, it felt kind of real, you know? Felt kind of real. Other than the fact that I have a hard time believing that the fucking president would still be in the White House at that point, you know? It's got to be some motherfucking bunker and some goddamn space bus under the goddamn White House and shit for him to get, you know, to escape. You know, he wouldn't be in the Oval Office waiting for these motherfuckers to come and mop him up, you know. But if you can get past that, yeah.
Yeah. Dude you talking about, by the way, named Jesse Plemons, yeah. He was in, what I was thinking, he was in Judas and the Black Messiah. That's what I was thinking. Well, what you might know.
Jesse.
And in this joint, he's actually an unnamed soldier. I'm looking at it on IMDb.
Yeah, see, he doesn't have the goddamn name in this shit, man. Mm-hmm. Just crazy. Yeah, he was just in that joint with old girl, Elizabeth Olsen, too, called Love and Death on, mm-hmm. on Apple. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought his role would be more prominent, but it was not.
Nope.
Oh, so, well. He's in the Irishman, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. Yeah, I know I seen him in that joint. And he, because he had Jesse in that motherfucking hole in that joint the whole time. He was on the last season of Fargo as well. Yeah, man. Really recognizable dude. Anyway, it was cool. It was cool. And again, that last long shot, you know, like, ever since that fucking long shot, and I believe it was that season of Daredevil in the fucking in the hallway in the jail and shit, man, those have been like some joints that when people have done it right, they really nailed it and like kind of made the highlight of either a TV series or a movie. And this was definitely the highlight of this film. It's a real gruesome motherfucking shot, you know, between the time they landed on right outside the fucking White House and shit till they got inside the Oval Office and tracked the fucking president down. You know, it was pretty well done, man. Alright, you got anything else?
Nah, that's pretty much it, you know.
Yeah, so I watched that, and the only other thing I watched this weekend was Fallout on Prime. So I haven't played any of those games or shit. Like, I didn't know those damn games date back to 97. That's when the first Fallout game mm-hmm. Dropped. So those games just not my jam. So I've heard of them before, but I just didn't know what they were about or whatever. So it's this iteration of it, because there are just like a whole bunch of stories that you can tell from this one origin story that, you know, obviously they've made like what, 4 or 5 games from this shit, and then it's kind of like an open-ended universe. But the basis of it is it's from an alternate timeline where I think everything is the same up until about World War II, and then after World War II, the U.S. and China are kind of in a race to like get the one-upsmanship on the other nation or the world, basically, with you know, handicapping resources and, you know, bending society towards their way of thinking or whatever. And these companies are at the forefront of this shit. So I think this company's called Valtech or whatever is trying to find a way to, you know, like control the population and, you know, think of ways to like, you know, just control fucking society or whatever. So they built these bunkers underground that, you know, can contain people if in fact a nuke is dropped. But then they drop the nuke themselves, and you know, you go ahead like maybe 100 or so years into the future, and like all these bunkers have different fucking like factions and groups and shit that are, you know, trying to survive, and some of them to come above ground, because by the time the nuclear, you know, the bulk of the nuclear fallout has subsided or whatever. So yeah, people who are born above ground. You have people that are born inside each bunker, which can be completely different from the next bunker and shit. So that's kind of like the basis of it. And I just watched it because motherfucking Walton Goggins was on his joint. And he fucking good and everything. So my man Goggins is involved, dog. I'm at least give it a shot, you know. And yeah, man. He's probably the fucking best two-way actor in Hollywood since like John Lithgow, man. I want to say. The nigga just funny, dog. Like, the amount of one-liners he give up in his joint, Kenny Young, like, it's worth the price of admission, you know. So, he's a motherfucking ghoul in this joint, so I'm not going to get too much into his backstory, because as the series goes on, I think it's like seven to eight episodes, you know, it does, like, get into some meat and potatoes of how, of why he is the way he is, and how he's so, like, dystopian, this dystopian nation. He's, like, you know, the kind of, like, the archetype to how people are, I mean, like, their attitudes are forming or whatever, man. But, you know, his motherfucking face is halfway cut off and shit, you know, because he got left outside when that motherfucking, that nuke hit, you know, and he turned to a ghoul, which is kind of like a zombie, but you can control being a ghoul if you take some medicine or whatever. So he's just out here being a fucking, like, a slave to, you know, like, bounties and shit, maybe like a bounty hunter or whatever, and performing, like, odd jobs and robbing people and killing motherfuckers for this medicine to keep him somewhat human or whatever. But if he doesn't get this medicine, he's going to turn into a full ghoul, which is basically a motherfucking zombie and shit. So, you have his story. You have a story of, like, one girl who's, like, escaped her bunker looking for a father. So, it's for her first time, you know, above the sub-level where the vaults are and shit. You got this black dude who whose parents got killed. And he's looking for revenge and shit. So, these three characters, I'm assuming that those are characters you can use in the game and shit. That just seems kind of, like, logical to me. Maybe not, but you know, it's kind of like how these fucking games go. You have a big ass buff black dude, you got a white guy, and you got a fucking, you know, a woman or whatever. So you kind of see their three stories intersect somewhat towards the end of this season. But, you know, from what I've, like, read and, like, watched some YouTube videos afterwards, whatever, man, they can just do, this can be as open-ended as fucking, like, Invincible on Prime, like, where you can have a million seasons of this shit, because I think it's, like, over 100 vaults, so each vault can have their own story, but, you know, they kind of sped the process up a bit, because it's TV, but, yeah, never played the game, but it's kind of interesting show.
Yeah, I definitely gotta, get back on it. Yeah. Thought about it, man.
It is, like, you got to catch that groove, though. It took me about 2 episodes to lock into it, just because I had no prior knowledge of it. And, you know, some of the stories I didn't think were as compelling as the others, but they kind of just, like, you know, start coming together around episode 3, and I kind of caught my groove. So, that's it. I think that's all I watched, man. Other than that, X-Men, and I haven't seen the newest episode that dropped today, but that episode last week, man, what's my man's name on YouTube, this is Black Mirror, I think his name is Blur, Without Fear, I think his name is, yeah, young. After last week's episode, young dog, that nigga was drinking wine, young, to calm himself, because, it was a bit like the niggas out here head tilting, you know. Don't want to give away the ending of last week's episode, man. But hey, niggas be dying on here, dog. So but you know, are people really dead though? If you can go back in time, though. So you know, multiverse shit kind of like leaves that open ended. So I don't know, man. But I will say, after what, 5-6 episodes of this, it's better than every X-Men live action film already. Like, you might have an inkling of an argument with the Logan movie that came out a few years ago. Maybe that, but nah. These six episodes, young, are better than every fucking live action X-Men movie so far. Which leads me to ask this question. Who gonna go to that showrunner that they just fired on their hands and knees and beg them to come back? Because this shit fired and that's on his jacket. So, yeah, man. You gotta do what's best for business, John. He good. I don't know what he did. Like, unless it's some damn Me Too shit, John. If it's just him, he's an asshole, he's hard to work. Nigga, you can get over that if you're gonna be producing shit like this, especially when y'all brand is as fucked up as it is, young. Nah, bring him back, young. He good. So, unless they completely shit away all the good work they've done in the first 5-6 episodes, this is about to be the best animation that Marvel has ever put out, and they need to get their motherfucking showrunner back. It's just weird how that fucking shit like played out anyway. Who the fuck fires the damn producer of a show a week before it drops, huh? Like, it had to be some motherfucking volcanic shit happening in that studio for that to happen. Now, it just looks bad, you know? If nothing else, you just, like, be quiet for a while, kind of, like, mention that, like, on the back end, you know, but before the show starts, you know, like, come on, you know, what happened? What happened? So, yeah, if you haven't started that joint yet, definitely start, you know, good money. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think it was this episode, but last week's episode, they had an original song by Ace of Base on that joint. Yeah. Real 90s, you know? Real 90s, dog. They kind of nailed it,
yeah. You said Ace of Base, so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, man, like, yeah, Jubilee was in the club, you know? And I heard that groove. I'm like, man, that sound real Ace of Base, you know? And, yeah. Well, from the credits came up, you know? Right there. I know it's my era. But yeah, that's all I've seen the past couple weeks. So, I did watch one more show on Netflix. I think it's called What Jennifer Did. And Jennifer Payne. What Jennifer Did, that's the name of the joint on Netflix. Yeah. This seemingly innocent girl from suburb America had her parents killed, you know? And yeah, man. Kids be devious, huh? So, yeah, that was that. All right, KB, do you have a weekly racism wake your ass up update?
Sure do. Headline, former black St. Louis cop says he was beat by white colleagues like Rodney King while working undercover at protest. Judge awards him $23.5 million. A former police officer who was beaten by his colleagues while he was working undercover during a protest in 2017 was just awarded $23.5 million by a judge. This comes more than 3 years after the city of St. Louis awarded Luther Hall $5 million in a separate settlement over the incident. Hall, a black man, was beaten by three white colleagues at the St. Louis Police Department during a protest on September 17, 2017, after a jury acquitted former St. Louis officer Jason Stockley of the murder charges he faced in the fatal shooting of a black man, Anthony Lamar Smith, in 2011. He was walking back to police headquarters when a group of uniformed officers stopped him, told him to get on the ground, and then started beating him. Hall claimed he was beaten like Rodney King, a black man who was jumped by a group of Los Angeles Police Department officers in 1991 after a high-speed chase. Hall was kicked in the face, which injured his jaw and left him unable to eat for a time. He also suffered a tailbone injury and had to undergo surgery to repair herniated discs in his neck and back. He also developed gallstone complications, which required multiple surgeries. He sued the colleagues involved in the assault, Randy Hayes, Dustin Boone, and Christopher Myers, alleging they beat him because they thought he was a protester and tried to cover it up. This week's award is the result of a default judgment granted against Hayes when he failed to answer the suit. Hall's claims against Boone and Myers are still being litigated. St. Louis Circuit Judge Joseph White awarded Hall $10 million in punitive damages, $11 million for past and future physical and emotional pain, and roughly $2 million for lost wages. On April 15th, St. Louis Public Radio reported another $600,000 was given to Hall for lost delayed retirement, insurance benefits, and past and future medical expenses. Luther is grateful that Judge White took his brutal assault by fellow officers and his life-changing consequences more seriously than the city of St. Louis and the St. Louis Police Department did, Hall's lawyer Lynette Petruska said, according to NPR. Hayes, Boone, Myers, and two other officers were all criminally charged connected to the attack. Hayes was sentenced to 4 years and 4 months in prison after pleading guilty in 2019 to using excessive force against Hall. Boone had to serve 1 year and 1 day in federal prison after being convicted in 2021 of a civil rights violation. Myers pleaded guilty in 2022 to another civil rights violation for destroying Hall's cell phone to conceal evidence in the attack. He received 1 year probation. The other two officers charged in the case were Bailey Coletta and Stephen Corte. Coletta pleaded guilty in 2021 to lying to a federal grand jury about what he saw during the attack and was sentenced to 3 years probation. Corte was acquitted that same year after being accused of a civil rights violation and lying to the FBI. That's it.
Yeah. He might be able to get a condo in Brad and Jason compound, yeah.
Oh, that's a good callback, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well deserved, young. Think of from your colleagues, though, young?
Yeah.
We ain't gang, young?
Apparently not, young.
Nope, because you black, young. Oh, boy.
You get your ass beat like, I mean, like Rodney King, like for real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a coworker, you know? Yeah. Definitely not playing fair out here. All right, what's some outrage, man?
Tone, I really can't help you with outrage, brother.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, Sean. Are white people still out here partying on OJ?
Nah, that died down pretty quickly, you
know? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know I just saw somebody just did a podcast with Cato Kaelin.
That's surprising. That's surprising, man. Yeah, when I dig that nigga up, man.
I figured he'd be like, I don't know how you can say it respectfully, but respectfully, I figured he'd be cracked out by now, yeah. He seemed a little cracky back then, yeah. No?
Different, yeah.
Yeah, cracky.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but some quick fame, and I'm sure, like, you know, guest appearances and all that shit like that, like, you know, so he had his drug of choice and plenty of it,
mm-hmm,
for a short period of time. So
one thing that I mean, it's not white people partying with Britney real fresh material, you know, but there's an Instagram account, SNL Reels. And they show just old clips of Saturday Night Live. So even outside of Norm, because somebody put together a supercut of all the jokes that Norm said about OJ.
Yeah.
When we get up, the shit was like 9 minutes long. You know? Just mm-hmm. Norm OJ jokes. You know? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how many other sketches they did to get some OJ humor in there? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, they just did any fucking thing, you know? So, like, Mike Myers would play, like, Judge Ito and shit. And instead of Johnny Cochran, they had Johnny Carson. Of course, Dana Carvey playing Johnny Carson. He was, like, defending OJ, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they just did any fucking thing, you know? So, it was a lot of partying back then, like, before the trial, during the trial. Yeah, then all of a sudden the verdict came out, and it was there's no more partying, you know? Because I think that everybody just assumed that he would just be found guilty, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then when he wasn't, there no more jokes.
Yeah. My favorite is still Norm, right after the verdict. He grabbed the papers and said, just saying, murder is legal in the state of California.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, apparently he's fucked people up in the afterlife, too, because his estate can't cover those damages that were owed to the Goldman family. Though, I had no idea Fred Goldman was still alive, you know?
Yeah.
I had to look that drum up. I was like, yeah. He was going to fucking outlive OJ no matter what, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old is he now? Because, like, it's fucked up. Like, what's he probably like in his, mid-70s, I would guess?
I'm going to forget. 83 years old, Kenny.
Okay. All right. So that means he was in his early 50s back then. All right. I was about to say, because sometimes you get to a certain age, you start realizing, like, damn, I'm older now than that person was then?
Right, yeah. We ain't there yet.
Shit.
Ito, 73. Furman, 72. Cato, 65. Darden, 68. Marshall Clark, 70. Shapiro, 81. Goddamn.
I did see somebody made an IG video the other day saying how everybody in OJ's defense team and him are now dead, you know? And they all died of cancer.
Damn.
And then was like, yeah, Chris Darden, he this old, he all right. Marshall Clark, this old, she all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it AMC or FX that had that series about the trial? Few years ago.
That was FX.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were smart. They bring that shit back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can talk about, what's his name? Jontay Porter.
So I didn't really, get into a lot of details. But the little stuff that I saw, you know, I'm like, yeah.
Man, so Jontay Porter, like, I didn't even know the Porters had another brother, you know.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was in the league, you know. So apparently he played for Toronto. So that's the brother of Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, looks like he was betting on basketball and cheating to get these motherfucking betting lines. And I think it was like the under for three points made or some shit, you know, is what they busted him on.
It was a regular betting on like over unders and like his stats. Okay. And I think when I read somebody had bet like 80,000 on something that would have paid them like maybe like 1.5-2 mil or something like that. And they ended up voiding the bet because how suspicious it was.
Dog, how long niggas know that, you know?
Yeah. Because apparently he, like, revealed, like, his health status to somebody who was, like, known as, like, a big-time sports bettor ahead of a game. And I guess whoever he told that dude told that person And that was the person that put $80,000 on the same game parlay bet that included like unders on his numbers. And I think in that game he played a couple minutes and then ended up leaving the game, because I remember reading that a couple weeks ago that like there was a game where he played a couple minutes then left the game. Like I said, he was sick or something like that. But I don't think they ended up paying out the bet because I think of why he went out the game. Or maybe it could have been because it was a suspicious bet. I think maybe it was the reason why he ended up leaving the game or something. But, yeah. And he, like you said, he also bet on he bet on games too. So none of that, now, to be clear, none of the games he bet on, I don't think he played in any of the games that he bet on. But like some of the bets I think did include parlays where I think he bet on his team to lose. And I think but I don't think any of the bets won though, which is the crazy part.
That never ends up well.
Right? He bet a lot more than he ended up winning. So.
Yeah, maybe he's had a problem, but either way, young, like you're in the fucking league, young. You can't find a better fucking pastime, young.
Yeah, young. There's a lot of. This very just suspicious activity around like the unders on his stats in games, and like it's going to raise a flag, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if can he face any jail time from this shit?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know about that.
About to be in financial jail.
Yeah, I don't know how much he was making a year, but then, you know, considering that that conversation we had earlier, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, Let me see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a pretty young player, though, so
he was making $2 million.
Oh, poor him, yeah.
Yeah. $2 million. Compared to Brad, you know, he's poverty ass contract, you know, feel like he had to do it, you know.
Yeah.
The motherfucking Los Angeles by themselves, you know, so.
He's a poor John. Then again, it is $2 million in Canada though. So
yeah. Huh? Mm.
Oh, come on, young. This is no way, young. No fucking way. Let me look it up on Twitter and see if this is real. Because niggas be capping like shit on Instagram. You know? I mean, on YouTube. Before I put this shit out in the universe.
You good?
Hold on. This is still not. I'm still only getting YouTube sources and shit, but somebody said that NBA Youngboy's got hit with a RICO.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not confirmed, y'all. So
yeah, that'd be too bad.
So I didn't move to Utah and just like got all the way the fuck up out the way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so yeah, I don't think anything else really been moving other than that fucking the transgressions of this damn Drake and Kendrick beef, which has now turned into a Drake and Rick Ross beef. Man, Kendrick about to swoop in here and do what I thought Drake was gonna do and shit. Wait for the fucking like bodies to clear after Kendrick and Cole lyrical miracle themselves to death and shit, you know? But Ross threw a motherfucking wrench in that shit, so he gotta take care of him now. And yeah, Kendrick just in a motherfucking a dungeon writing right now, young. But he got a formidable opponent, young. Like, you know, whether Drake has writers or not, we know he does. But you know, that doesn't really matter because he's provided a new element to this whole beef shit, young. He be making these motherfucking diss songs that be bops, young. Mm-hmm. That damn drop gave me 50. That shit catchy, young. I always liked that motherfucking chorus anyway, young. Back in the day and shit. So to see him incorporate that shit into a rap song, like, man, that damn back to back got nominated for a fucking Grammy, young. That just tells you, like, he do the shit his way, young. Mm-hmm. Everybody's be like trying to like expose you and fucking bar you to death, young. He's like, nope, I'm gonna say three things per verse that gonna hit, and I'm gonna drop this motherfucking chorus, young, and people gonna be singing along laughing at you. That's his strategy. Pretty good, young. Gotta work towards your strengths, young. That's how a lot of niggas lose battles, young. They try to do something that somebody else does better than them. Can't do that, you know? Gotta do what you do. Find a way to make it work. So. Don't know how it's gonna work out, but, I seen, what's name was that? I don't know if it was. I don't think it was Coachella. It was some fucking concert series, out in LA this past weekend. But, I seen Lupe threw his hat into the ring too, young. He been wanting to fucking bow and diss Kendrick for years now too, young. I wish he'd just come out and say it. Cause it's kinda like the worst kept secret and shit, young. You know. He lives and dies by lyrical shit, and seeing Kendrick crowned as, like, you know, the best lyricist, like, year after year and shit, man. It's kinda gotten under his crawl, young. And it's kind of baiting him a little bit. So, I'd actually enjoy that more than I would the Kendrick and Drake thing. But, you know, that's what the masses want. So, that's probably what it's going to be. So, that's that, huh? Sorry, y'all. I don't know about any more hot fire in the streets right now. Let me look and see if anything else is trending before we wrap it up. That's about it. You know, everything else is basketball related. Who won this game, Kenny? I haven't been watching it.
The Sixers won.
Who?
The Sixers.
For real?
Mm-hmm. They came
back.
Damn.
Too bad Sam is on here. He could have a motherfucking a Jimmy rant, you know? He know he's good for one of those, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right, KB, let's, well, you got any tanks, first of all?
Tank. No, I don't.
Yeah. I don't, so, let's get to the listener tanks and feedback of the week.
I got one from Brian P.
Okay.
Sup, fellas, been a long ass time since I checked in, but I'm back with the tanks. And my second favorite pastime, good old-fashioned cold slander. Onto the tanks. I think I read this one.
It was about time. If it's since Cole apologized, you haven't.
Okay. Onto the tank. He said, my old head co-worker Cliff asked if I heard a Country Carter album. I told him it's called Cowboy Carter. He cued me and said, well, it is a country album, ain't it? Shaking my head, old niggas don't care. Mm-hmm. Number two, the King Dan Marcino said he was gonna get some hookers, but they were all ugly as hell. I had a confused look on my face, like Robert the Tall at a spelling bee. Yeah, I know I ain't read this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. You know?
I heard no Latall slang in a minute,
yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. So I go, you trying to buy some hookers? My
Tino said, yeah, you seen him before, right? Them thick ass running shoes old white men be wearing. Yeah, this nigga meant Hokas.
Oh my God. He added an O, yeah.
Yeah, he did, man.
God's a genius, gentlemen.
Man. Hookers.
He added an O, yeah.
Hookers, hookers, hookers. Yeah. Same shit, man. Man, that guy's good, man.
Some hookers, yeah.
Yeah. They were all ugly as hell, though.
It's so good. It's layers, yo. It's like an onion, yo. Ted Tino.
A pink onion, yo? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right.
The Dave Chappelle Nigga Trying to Explain Award goes to J. Cole fans and decide 910 area code. Said, trying to explain how mature Cole was with being scared of Kendrick, nigga pop shit in the box. That's how I was cut. Oh, shit was so bad. I agree with Bomani's rap tape for the first time ever. I don't ever want to hear this Milk Toast nigga's name mentioned in the top three again. Yeah. Lastly, congratulations to UConn on back-to-back titles in dominant seasons. Y'all still ain't blue bloods, though. Yeah, they have six titles, but we have the men's college basketball in the history. UConn is at best seventh in the convo behind Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA, Indiana, and those bitches in Chapel Hill. Shout out to Rashad, make them mad, McCants. I don't make the rules, deal with it. That's all I got. Y'all be easy. You out your fucking mind, you. They got six, you know.
I don't know why this bothers people so much.
Tone. I know people who are diehard Duke fans, Carolina fans, and like they can't fight it no more. You can say whatever you want about like the players from their schools, like what they do in the NBA. But when you got six national titles and three of them are with different coaches, yeah, that's a blue blood, you know? It ain't just Jim Calhoun, like, doing this shit. Kevin Ollie got one at UConn. And now motherfucking Dan Hurley got two in a row? What the fuck else, what do you need to do?
Wait, so it's been a prerequisite that you got to win with more than one coach?
No. What I'm saying, like, to me, a blue blood is a program that's just like, it's going to be an elite program regardless of who's helming it because of the expectations, everything that's built into that program. You should be able to win there. That's, to me, that's a part of it. Not saying that's the only criteria, but that's a part of it. Another part of it is like, also, how successful have you been? They got six championships. And they've done it with different head coaches. They got the infrastructure, the facilities. Like, what the fuck more do they need to do? Or do y'all just not want a team for the Big East involved in the shit?
I don't think it's as much the Big East as it's just.
So, again, if that's not it, if it's not because of your bias, then I don't understand, like, what else is, like, the argument anymore.
It's because old niggas don't like change, Kenny. This is the way it's been. This is the way it always should be. I mean, you know, to a certain degree, I'm the same way when it comes to like these fucking super conferences and shit, man. Next year, having fucking USC and Washington in the Big Ten is going to be fucking weird, yeah. I don't like it. I don't like the fucking way the ACC is turned out. I don't like the way, like, in fucking 5 years, fucking, they still might play their fucking games against each other, but, like, Duke, Carolina, and NC State not being in the same fucking conference and playing back-to-back games, you know? Home and away games. Like, that might not be the shit moving forward in the next 5, 10 years. So, I get fighting that shit, you know? I just don't know why this fight matters so much to people, you know? Like, people have arguments about their teams every day. I don't know anybody having blue blood arguments about who's a blue blood, who's not a blue blood every day, young. That's just a dumb fucking argument to me, young. But I don't get to choose people's fucking biases and shit, man, and agendas. So here it is, young.
Yeah.
Like you talk about like remaining you know, competitive and shit. Like UCLA be competitive, young. I'm asking, like, they be mattering year in and year out?
No, they won one since 95. I didn't know if you was right, really asking me. You was talking with the shit. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like.
All them shit was back in the 60s and 70s, you know?
Yeah, so, like, nobody's taking away their blue-bloodedness, young, so. I don't get it, young.
No, the only two schools that got more than them all time and in the UConn is fucking UCLA and Kentucky. That's it. That's the list of people that got more than them. Yep. And they tied with Carolina.
Yep. Maybe niggas is mad that they passed them or they creeping on the come up, young. I don't. That's not the hill I'm going to die on, young. I don't got no problem with UConn, young.
Yeah, people just like being snobby, you know. Yeah. Looking down on other programs and shit now. Yeah, they got more than y'all, so whatever.
Not looking up, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I think that's the only email for this week.
Okay. All right, KB. Well, glad to have had you home for those couple of weeks, man. Glad we got to get out and hang out some, man.
Absolutely. Look
forward to it again soon. And until then, let's get some shout-outs and get about you.
Yep, man, as always, thanks to everybody who listens. Appreciate y'all, man. You can follow us on Twitter or X at KBADS, that's KBADDS, and at Hot Five Starter. Any questions, comments, send them to hotfivestarter@gmail.com. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/hotfivestarter. And I'll see y'all next week.
All right. Appreciate you guys out there for listening, spreading the word.
And click that link in my bio, to the bio. Yeah, click that. Just click the motherfucker.
Yep. Click that link.
And if you're going to buy a Dreo, hit me up. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yep.
And other than that, happy birthday again, Bob. And we'll holler at you guys next week. It's FS Podcast. We out.